Welcome back to NLP's Young Professionals Network podcast, Growing in the Green Industry. Today's podcast is powered by our Young Professionals Network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Hosts of today's episode include myself, Miles Caparis from Include Software, and Brett Lemke from RM Lemke. How's it going, Brett? It's been a minute.
Yes, I travel in cycles, and the last time was inconveniently like two Thursdays in a row, and it's like, man, I've missed this. So I put the headphones back on. I'm ready
yeah,
to have riveting conversations, and we have some cool guests today.
Yeah, it's been, I think we've been on the same schedule, so
yeah, that's right. I haven't seen you in a while,
and
they jump off when we come on. So now, I mean, I don't think it's us. I don't think, but maybe it is.
It might be.
Yes. We have two guests today. So that helps fill up we don't have to do all the talking. Mm-hmm. We have Claire and Charlie Goldman, and I've got a bio here for them. Claire is the principal of R&R Landscaping. She joined the team in 2008 after graduating from Auburn University with a BS in horticulture. The focus on design, excellent food, inspiring music, and great design drives Claire's creativity. She is grateful to have the opportunity to work in the field that fuels her passion. When Claire is not on the clock, she's researching mid-century modern design or backpacking with her husband, Charlie, and their two boys. Charlie, also a principal of R&R Landscape. Charlie joined the team in 2006 after graduating from Auburn University in 2005 with a bachelor's in science and horticulture. He is the numbers guy and goes and go-to on drainage, hardscapes, and practical problem solver. Charlie keeps everyone laughing, and he's a firm believer in having fun with everything you do. If Charlie is not on the job, you can find him fishing, backpacking with his family, but mostly fishing. I want to know who wrote these bios. Did you write your own bio, each other, or do you guys swap and write each other's bios? That'd be cool.
So those are the bios that are on our website. And if I remember correctly, we probably kind of sort of wrote them. And then our office manager like zhuzhed them up. But she's good at that.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
I'm going to hand over my, I consistently do not put up bios. People ask me for those, right? When would you do these things or for through NALP? And I don't even have the bio. And I either don't want to write it. So I'm going to just send it to your office managers. That's all right.
Just send it. She'll make you sound really good.
Yeah.
I'm on the website right now, and it's nice. And the team pages, they're all well written.
Okay, we'll have the podcast about well written bios, but I think knowing the both of you and getting to know you more, I like the bios. I think it plays to the personalities and the fun and the seriousness that you do take with it. But there's a lot of fun that can be had here. So we're gonna have a fun conversation today. You know, obviously, the dynamic of working together, spouses working together. I think there's something to dig into there. Maybe therapy. I don't know. One of the ways, but then
for sure.
And then the business and growing it. And Claire, your engagement as on the board of NALP. Really excited to see that happening for you. Miles, where do we start today? Where do you think we go with this?
Yeah, let's. I don't know. Let's just riff off on the history first and see like what. What got you to this point, both of you, I guess. So you guys are based out of, just looking at your website, you're based out of Alabama, right?
Yes, we're in Auburn, Alabama. Cool. We both went to school there. Personally, we met when I was 15 and he was 16. I grew up in Atlanta and Charlie grew up on a 4,000 acre farm in South Alabama.
Nice.
I went down there to visit my cousins. Of course, there's always cousins involved in the Alabama love story. But to make this a long story short, I will just say I met him. We spent the next 4 years running up phone bills because back then we didn't have cell phones and we were long distance. And we were pretty crazy in love with each other. And we got to Auburn and immediately got to Auburn and got married the next summer. So I was 19 and Charlie was 20.
Fantastic. Okay. Now Charlie, you tell the story. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, you know, we were very fortunate to meet each other at such a young age. And then it did allow us to then reconnect in Auburn. And then once we got to Auburn, I mean, it was an easy decision to never leave. We were kind of right in the middle geographically of the grandparents, as well as the, you know, town being the perfect size, you know, not too small for somebody coming from Atlanta, and then not too big for somebody coming from a 4,000 acre farm. So definitely found a sweet spot right there.
And so horticulture, like that path was just something that was, that sort of came up through all that, or Auburn's a wonderful school and program as well.
Yeah, I was originally in agronomy and soils, and Charlie was originally in wildlife sciences. And I honestly don't remember what the switch was to horticulture, but we both ended up in it. And neither of us planned like any of this to where we would be working together. That's just crazy, first of all. But we took turns 3 months after we got married. I got pregnant. So we took turns going to school. So Charlie graduated in 2005, mm-hmm. and I graduated in 2008. So I kind of followed him through the horticulture program in Auburn. So once we graduated, then, you know, Charlie graduated first. He, you know, went on as a crew leader with a local landscape company here, and then shifted gears when R&R Landscaping was looking for someone to kind of run their operations. That's a strong word. It was a very, very small company at the time. So he shifted gears to R&R, and then I joined R&R as an employee part-time in 2006 and then full-time in 2008 when I graduated. And we partnered up with the owner, and just over time, you know, earned a very small percentage of the company as we went. And then in 2019, we bought him out. And so now Charlie and I are 100% owners.
I like that. I don't think we've had anybody, I mean, we've had a lot of guests, but I don't think we've had anybody who's had that specific story. Well, that's not true. Neil Bales has that. But that's cool. So what was that experience like joining on with a company that you didn't have ownership? And then how did you engage? Like, did you always want to own a company together, or how did that come together?
Yeah. You know, I would say it's very interesting the way our story, you know, has unfolded. And a lot of it, or at least on my side, a lot of it hasn't necessarily been planned out. It's just been, you know, it's fallen into place, you know, like the way, you know, seemingly like it was supposed to be like that. Because at least for me, I never really intended on owning our own company. But then once the opportunity was presented, of course, we, you know, took advantage of it. And then the more time went on, of course, the,
yeah, there's not been any strategy in anything in our lives. So we just kind of do the next right thing. And it's the same thing with the company. You know, it got to the point where, okay, we're negotiating a little bit more money. How are we going to do this? And honestly, I think out of necessity, such a small business to get us both, ownership was something that he could offer us to help, you know, keep us here and going and growing the company. And so it just kind of happened, no strategy involved whatsoever. But here we are.
That's cool. So what attracted you guys to be a part of the previous owner's kind of vision, and like, what did you guys like about that made it sticky, that you're willing to take that kind of trade-off?
He was really good about allowing us to run the day-to-day. He was a controller for a development company, and he's a CPA. So he was kind of the financial business side of things, but we pretty much had full control of decision-making on the day-to-day decisions. And so it felt like it was our company from the beginning. It just wasn't. So it was also very nice for the two of us being married to have a third person to, you know, until we bought the company in 2019, it really felt like we answered to him. And so that buffer, I think, was helpful. There are plenty of calls that I called him and fired Charlie like 1,000 times. And and our partner would kind of talk me off the ledge there. So it was nice to have that buffer.
And Charlie's still here, so we're all right.
Charlie, yeah, so far he's out. Still here.
Yeah. Well, curious to say that you the two of you went down this path together, right? And there's I think there's equal amount of success stories of spouses working together that are those that aren't, right? And the stories we've heard, you know, I've been in peer groups where I had a fire and my wife, right, was a statement that was said. It's like, how'd that go? I'm like, well, it didn't really go well. But it was the right thing and, you know, in the path. But, you know, at certain points, when did that conversation come up? Should we run this together? Or is that just, again, no plan, just you take on your piece, I'll take on mine, and let's just go.
Yeah, so our peer group came to visit our facility in January 2019. And I think that was really started the conversation of how we wanted to move forward. A lot of the feedback was, you know, how much of the company we're running and how small of an ownership percentage we had. And so we didn't say anything to our partner, but actually in March of that year, he came to us and said he was ready for his next steps in life and would like to sell the company to us. So again, it happened the way I guess it was supposed to happen. And that's been the hardest part of being married to also someone that I'm in business with once he was out of the picture and we really had to look at growth strategy, structure, those kinds of things. We're no longer like kind of working for him. We now had to have one person in charge, and that means that we had to kind of restructure our whole relationship and what it looked like in the office. We're growing leadership team, those kinds of things. Like, you don't want to be the husband and wife that everyone's like, I don't want to be in the office because they're, you know, whatever. So we really turn, like, we have a switch. When we're at work, we try to be colleagues, it works sometimes, depends on the day. But if we want to scale and grow and we want a business bigger than us, then it's necessary.
Wow, there's only a few times that I've always wanted this podcast to be a video, and today would be just to see their smiles and yeah. The feedback off each other as the story continues. Like, oh, I'm going to screenshot a bunch of this and we'll just share some of the photos of it. And there is, I mean, so the point is there's rules of engagement. Right. And I work with my father. Miles worked with his father and mother. Right. And so mom. We've all worked in. Yeah. Right. And so we've all worked in that. But that is a different organizational family structure. Right. And so I guess what makes it work? And then where doesn't it always work? Because everybody needs to know. Right. Because we hope our listeners are going to learn a lot from this.
Yeah. I'll jump in there and kind of throw a little bit out there as far as kind of what works for me. And like Claire said, you know, it's whenever we were going through the buyout and then the time comes to structure who's going to own the majority of the company and how are things going to look. It required me swallowing my pride. And I would say that, you know, being able to check your pride is going to be one of the first things really with any relationship, but especially with husband and wife. And, you know, I think that me growing up in South Alabama and hearing, the man is the head of the house and all these different things. And whenever you think about that in the right context, it's good, but still just that pride. So anyway, for me, I would say that was one of the hardest things that I had to overcome because I had kind of felt to some extent like I had been in charge and was like the head of ops and kind of like orchestrated everything. And then I went from that like over to sales. So I kind of like, you know, lost my power, so to speak, my air quotes over here, but, you know, lost my power.
Can't see it. It's just in radio show. Yeah. But
you can see it in Claire's eyes. You're like, yeah, like we all know who's really in charge here. Sorry. Just go ahead.
But no, that was the hardest thing because I knew Claire was the right person for the job, but being able to tell other people that, you know, it's hard. Not really, but you know what I'm saying? Like that was difficult. So I would say that was hard.
That was definitely a transition. I own 51% of the company. He owns 49%. And the way we structured it, I am functioning as CEO. So he has been very good most of the time about being humble. And, you know, of course, I also try to honor him and make sure we're on the same page. And sometimes that means some side conversations for sure. But It's worked well. I think for me, one of the hardest things is running a professional company with Charlie in it. I mean, he's a lot of fun, and that's part of our culture, and we're just totally embracing it. But he also, like, I would say 90% of the time is a 5-year-old. And so so that's our role, our words for this year as a business are professionalism and maturity, and we're working on it. That's really been the challenge.
Charlie, I'm right there with you, buddy. The idea is, that's my father and I's relationship. My father brings the fun and the excitement, and he brings an element to that culture. But when it was time to get serious, that was like, I want to grow the business. I've got these pieces. And either I've gone to the two extremes, like, okay, it's all about growing this business. What's it going to take to elevate people and organizations? And then my father's out there doing the things that they love the most. And so there is good balance, right? And so, and of course, within the team, some people gravitate towards those that are helping them grow their career, and those that are just making their career fun. And I appreciate that in our organization, that there's a good mix. And so, but finding the balance, oh my gosh, right? The origin of my business was my father and my uncle started, and they both are 50-50. And that was like the worst thing that they ever could do, because ultimately they broke up in that, you know, they couldn't run the business together anymore because there was just nobody being able to move the scale. And right or wrong, it just wasn't, they were just stalling. And so, we talk about that lots of times. It's a strategy. What's good for the business is sometimes not always good for the relationship, but but right now it's about the business conversation rather than, and the family hopefully is much stronger through all that.
Absolutely. We've really, I think, grown a lot in our relationship. It's been very cool to see the company grow and to see the people that we've been able to grow and create a team around us. And the bigger the company gets, the more separated our roles get. So it does make it easier. There's plenty of days where I don't even talk to him at work anymore. And so, frankly, I love that. Like I love him, but yeah, not working with my spouse would be a lot easier. So creating the separation at work has been nice, and creating the team that understands us and also has the goals of the company in place has been refreshing and supportive for us.
What's the stories that you have about your parents working together? I mean, you've had to see it plenty of times unfold, and
why I'm not working for them anymore. that's more of a me problem, right? Than a them problem. I think my parents have a really good example of how to run a business and keep their relationship really solid. I don't know if I have any stories besides like the fact that my dad's definitely the driver of the business, and like so he drove the strategy, and my mom was the VP type running the office. That relationship changed over time to her more running and keeping some of the department heads accountable for like each of the services, like maintenance and lawn care and plant health care. Because my dad just really loves, similar to like your dad, like getting out there, right? And like doing the dirty work and driving the equipment, trucks, and like all that stuff. He's kind of transitioning now to be more of a coach. But still, though, that's his first love, and he still keeps on doing that. So a lot of that other work came on my mother. They really kept it professional, right? In the work setting, but it definitely fed into our family life a lot. So that's like why I had to get out, because I couldn't separate the two things or deal with like work being always there. So I think that's probably the biggest story that I have. It's just like that separation was hard for me. And it impacted my relationship with them. So then that's why I moved out, because it's way better. Like I love my job now, and it's a lot of fun. So.
Well, what didn't Bob Grover in a previous podcast talked about, you know, it was like work-life balance. It's never balance. Yeah. It's integration. And so even in this, as spouses working together, the integration of it, you got to be able to say who's got the kids tonight on work hours and talk. And I talked to my wife all throughout the day, just happens to be she's in a different job in a different building, different town, which sometimes can look glare like, yeah, wouldn't that, you know, let's get multiple branches. But the idea is it's the integration of it, right? Where we can have, where you could be home, talk about work and it not disrupt it, but then you could be at work, talk about life, and have it. I see my father on the weekend and we'll chat about something that needs to be done better. But then we'll go and he'll run around with the grandkids. I can't say that, right, to your point, there's no process behind the system, but it is just the effort to, okay, it's getting a little hot. We'll just pause on that one, right? Well, it may not get better, but we'll just not let it get to those points because you can't walk away from it, right? Because the evening will be, are we going to continue this conversation or are we really going to solve it? And so
it's really awareness. Like, we've tried it in all different versions of what it looks like, you know, no talk about work after 5:30, no weekend talk, that kind of stuff. And, we've realized it's just not realistic. Some of our best strategic conversations are Saturday morning with coffee when we have the time to really talk about it. And, so we just have to be really aware of, like, is it consuming all of our life? And at that point, like, maybe it's time for a date. Maybe we need to go do something. And so it is easy because we both love it to talk about it all the time and to let it control everything that we're doing and our moods and, you know, whatever it is. So we are very aware of making sure we protect that to some degree, but it's not with, you know, a 40 hours of work versus life kind of thing. It's certainly integrated into everything we do.
I think that's a good approach. But one thing that you did say, you know, like growing the team so you guys aren't actually dealing with like day to day with each other, I think that's a really good motivator. How big is the team now versus like when you guys started? And what's that looking like?
So when we started, Charlie was in the field and he would, work on a crew all day and then meet with clients in the evening while I was home with the kids, texting him, when are you coming home? Because I'm tired. You know, that was...
Texts too, Charlie. I mean, I got lots of those texts.
It's funny that we were small enough that the first winter that I was here, it was only me and one other person. I mean, and so like she said, you know, it was a constant struggle to stay ahead of ourselves on that. But talking about like the work-life balance and everything, one thing that we found is, you know, like anything, you know, you go through different seasons. And so I feel like kind of giving ourselves a little bit of grace and like whenever it's springtime and we are working 80 hours a week, like it's okay. You know, like there's times when that has to happen. And then just like, you know, you don't feel bad about like the wintertime, like spending more time, you know, with your kids or with each other or whatever, and kind of taking it seasonally to kind of make up for it. Because if I feel like that's one of the mistakes that I would make would be being too hard on myself and expecting me to be able to work 80 hours in spring and still like spend a bunch of time and all too.
How much do we, you know, you go back and forth if everybody understood what we go through and you all have just the best opportunity to say, well, we have the same career. We know what we're going through. We know our highs and our lows, right? I married an educator and she has her busy seasons could be opposite to some degrees. Right. And she's now a principal. She's busy all the time, but it is, you know, so there's those moments of like, I understand, which can go a long ways. And then there's the ones where, well, why can't you make it to the game tonight? Or why can't you pick up, you know, or, you know, when the family part comes into play, because it's spring, right? It's April something. And we're already up to our necks and something in this piece. And so, I imagine it has both, right? The you can sympathize with each other, but then you're both too consumed and then you lose each other in that.
Yeah. I think when the kids were younger, I had much less, patience and empathy for his long work hours, but now, and we've talked about this a few times, like I would never get mad at him for, you know, hustling or, you know, if we have an emergency that needs to be handled. I think, what was it? It was Valentine's Day a couple years ago and the crew left the job site and ran over the water meter on the way out and busted the pipes. And so we had a client who didn't have water to the house on Valentine's Day. We had a production manager who, you know, had a date or something. I can't remember. And, you know, I'm like, whatever, go. Like, it's, I don't care. It's Valentine's Day, but you know, after 19 years, it's just another Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
Please make the client happy.
That's the easy one to pick too. That's like a lower on holidays too, right? Yeah. So it's the plowing on Christmas morning that you get to be, make it back by the time the kids wake up kind of stuff. Right. And so, yeah, no, it is. I think anybody that is in the family, right, Miles, or the self-employment world, I guess, not even to our industry, the hustle required, the commitment to it, the drive that is, you know, you got to match well to the spouse and understand. And when the kids are little, that's a different world than the kids are older. Like that becomes a whole different game of pieces. And we're climbing out of the trenches of little kids or still little, but much more self-sufficient. And that's just a load of breath of fresh air there too. So.
Yeah. I think it does help me to be more empathetic towards any spouses of our employees. And I do try to make sure that's covered in one-on-ones. We think about, you know, Christmas is coming up. Did you buy your wife a gift? Have we talked about this? And just being aware of being like, hey, you know, it's 5 p.m. Do you have anything? So I try to coach my team on like making sure they understand too, being present for their families as well, and balancing that too.
How have they reacted to that?
I have one in particular that has been very appreciative, and a spouse who has been very appreciative.
That's cool. Yeah. Now, that's something that I've done with my team, is instate like weekly one-on-ones, and, I'm still trying to figure out like the format, but understand, that none of them have families. So like trying to understand like the balance of the business and the personal, but that's cool that you integrate that, integrate with that, with your team. What are you guys most excited about now looking forward? So like, we talked a lot about how you got here. What are you guys looking forward to as a couple, as a business, as a family?
Retirement. No, I'm just kidding. We are on the cusp of being empty nesters. So our youngest kid is a senior in high school. He's done with all his classes, and he'll be 18 in June, and it'll be our 19th anniversary. So yes, you can do the math on that too. So we are really excited to finally have some time, the two of us, hopefully, we'll see. and just what that means for our relationship, but also for the business. We've got some pretty aggressive growth plans, and we are young to be empty nesters. So we still have a lot of time ahead of us to do what we want to do. So that's probably our most exciting thing right now is the life transitions in place with the family and with the company.
Yeah. We're excited to see what our son decides to do. And I'm also excited about our roles kind of slowly shifting into more of being able to coach different positions on our teams and all. So I'm definitely excited about that part of it.
Our son has shown interest in the industry and our company. And so we're just kind of treading lightly. I'm trying to be cool and not be too overly excited, but I'm inside, like I'm freaking out. I'm very excited.
Well, he was at Landscapes, right?
And he went to Landscapes, yeah. And he went with us to Grow in February. And so he's really learning some of that leadership type stuff that I wish if I was at 17, like that's amazing. So he's been pretty into it. He's met some great people already. Our industry is awesome. Like, you know, for people to go up to a 17-year-old and talk to them and just really engage him and for him to feel welcome was huge. And that's been his experience. So I'm excited for him.
So let's talk about your experience through the association and as a board member. What's that been like for you? Because this is your first term.
First term. So I started officially serving in October. I was able to go in July to just attend the strategic planning. I honestly am blown away. I am excited to see how aligned the association is with what we're doing, and also just the growth in leadership. I'm not going to lie. I was so intimidated to get on that board. You look at the people on the board and I mean, it's just like industry icons, right? And I was just like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm still at the place where like, if you debate me too hard, I'll probably angry cry at some point, you know, and like, can't do that at the board.
It might be an effective negotiation tactic.
I have grown tremendously as a leader already. I feel like my debate skills have grown a little bit, and I have a really great mentor locally that I meet with every Friday. And actually that stemmed from being accepted to the board. And I basically just said, like, who do I know that will push back and, you know, push me a little bit? And he's a great business owner here in town. So we meet every Friday morning for coffee and we just talk about business and strategy and things like that. And just to help me articulate things when it is an intense situation or things like that. So the board's been amazing. I've learned a ton. It's a really incredible group of people, and I'm very excited to see the direction the association's going.
Sweet. It's amazing what you can learn through the volunteerism of it. And there's very selfish reasons to volunteer and participate as much as there is the way to give back. So,
and even just observing the interactions among these high level leaders, you know, even if I'm not included in the conversation, but watching how they're able to do some things has been really helpful for me. Mm.
And the travel, and you get to go all the cool places. And
who knew Phoenix was so cool?
Yeah, that was a fun trip.
Phoenix
it was winter, awesome. Right?
Yeah,
but you guys, that was recent, right?
The leaders forum. Yeah,
yeah. Phoenix in the winter is nice. Phoenix in the middle of the summer is nah.
That is true.
You know, like 120 degrees. Yeah. I was there. We got a flat tire. That was a terrible experience. But anyways, I need to revisit that and revisit it in the winter to get the good view. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I appreciate, I think, you know, one, the candor, and two, like just the experiences that you both have in it. You know, from the outside, it looks like y'all are nailing it, right? And that's the best part, right? You have the little debates behind it. I'm dealing with it a little bit now. I've found that in our organization that, you know, it's not unlike a parent's, right? And so they'll ask one versus the other, or they'll get a different perspective, right? So my father will say, oh, we had a snow event. It was a little tough. They said, man, if we had a piece of equipment, that would really fix this one. And my father's like, well, go buy it. I got like, wait, slow down. Like, we've gone to the root cause on what's going on here. Did this one not work? Do we need some more people? What's going on? No, go buy it. And, you know, and he's the boss. And so he gets to go buy it. So have you found yourself in those situations where it was like you're the parent to now not just your own kids, but to a staff, a team?
I would like for you to comment on that first.
So yes, they are. So I may or may not have a reputation for being easier to manipulate than Claire. And so people have figured that out. So as opposed to going to one and then the other, people know to just default to coming to me because I'm gonna be much easier to persuade in whatever direction they want. So yes, there's
Charlie will give you whatever you ask for whenever you ask for it. Like it's ridiculous. So yes, we've 100% had to put some systems in place to make sure Charlie's the last person everyone goes to. And to his credit, I appreciate his generosity and his kindness, but I do, you know, want to keep my house.
Our audience missed that face that Claire just made, but it was, you can imagine, it was a good one. that's actually kind of interesting. Charlie, so like, how do you work through this? So it sounds like, you know, like you're the fun guy, you know, and like this. So is there, do you like having that personality, or is that just kind of how you work? Or do you like, as you transition to more business ownership and leadership, do you have things that you're targeting to grow and work on skill sets that maybe, I mean, cause I mean, coming from crew, like a crew member, crew lead to like out in the field to like managing a business is a totally different skill set. So how are you working through that?
Yeah. You know, I was definitely, you know, as a, you know, leading the crew and everything, I thought that I was going to be a terrific business owner. And then when I was put in a position where I had to deal with everything, I realized that I'm a much better crew leader than I am business owner. You know, I lack a lot of like, you know, just leadership skills and everything. And so that's really the biggest advantage that, and so, and to answer your question, it's just kind of like just the way I am. I'm definitely kind of like, take me for what I am, to the point of like, of it hurting my emotional intelligence and everything. So I've learned a lot, and I'll continue. I have a lot. Let's just pause.
He knows what emotional intelligence is, and that's a big step, guys.
Yeah, I'm a little oblivious to other people, but then once it was brought to my attention, you know, I would do anything for you. I just wouldn't always notice it. That's just a small little example, but nevertheless. So yeah, I've moving into owning a business and realizing what it takes, and then also like seeing what Claire has done on the board has increased my respect for her and the skill set that she has tremendously. And I really feel like across our organization, you know, our leadership team going to grow and being able to hear her talk on panels and give speeches and hear her be able to articulate herself as well as it has been huge for other people on our leadership team as well, not only me. So that's been super exciting.
I think for the two of us, we do communicate very well. And so I know Charlie obviously very well. And so there's definitely times where, you know, maybe he says or does something. I know what his heart is and I know what his intent is. And there's often times where his actions are not following up with that. And so also try to be aware of the right time and place to address it. And as long as I nail all of those things, he's very receptive.
No, so. Yeah, it's so interesting to me because like what I love about you guys in our short time together is that you both have very clear and very different career paths, like from and different skill sets, but y'all both get together like along really well. You have this great chemistry. You can just see it. Even just like looking at your social media and stuff, like, you know, just like glance at that. And it's like, it's cool to see, like, you see the roles, you see where the passions are. And you guys bring that, what I think is important, especially for what I learned working for my parents is like having like that family values, you know, if that's part of your brand, you guys really imbue that really well. And your clients will probably latch onto that and your team too. And one thing that's really cool that you mentioned as well, that I really, really believe in is showing the way for your team. Like, so that's cool that they're able to see like you at your best, like in other circumstances. Cause then they know like, oh, you know, like for instance, like Claire for you, like they saw you like, oh, I didn't even realize that she was capable of that. Right. Cause, you're not presenting in front of hundreds of people in your leadership meetings. Right. So
yeah, it's been really cool for our team to go to events like Landscapes and to see the industry side of things. I think when you compare yourself to your immediate competitors, you really are looking at a very small portion of our industry. And when you see the professionalism that comes through all of these educational events that we have, I'm excited to see what Elevate brings and to bring our team to that as well. It's just really opened their eyes, I think, to see what a career opportunity it is to continue to choose to grow the company together and really put that first.
Yeah, that's
there's a good balance between the two of you and a team. I think really will enjoy that, right? Because it's just not going to be, you know, a whole group of people that come together have lots of different priorities and passions within why they work. And so you, to have that depth and an ownership is really nice. For, you know, I know where I lack, and I appreciate where my father comes in. Someday my father will say, you know, I'm not going to hang around anymore, and I'm going to have to fill in some of those gaps. I mean, and some of them I certainly can, and some of those shoes I will never be able to do. So, you know, you've got to rely on the fact that you're going through this together is probably, you know, a way bigger benefit than those that are going through it alone, even if it does come along with a couple more conversations and stresses. And you didn't even swear on this, Claire. So at least I think there's, right? So maybe this thing's really working out well, right?
Just, I mean, obviously, right, Charlie's a good influence on me.
Cool. We're gonna do our rose and thorn, as I think we're coming to that time here. And because
you have to tell Claire Charlie what that is.
Oh yeah, Claire has an important meeting with Britt today, you know, the CEO of MLP. And right, well, I mean, I think he can, you just put him on hold for a little
Britt can wait on us.
Miles, what's Rose and Thorn?
Yeah, so Rose and Thorn is our segment where we go over like what's going on well, maybe professionally, personally, doesn't really matter. Then Thorn is something that maybe that's not going so well or that we're working on. It's not,
just one thing real quick is Charlie is also the most indecisive person I've ever met in my life, and we start our staff meeting with positives, and it's the most painful thing in the world for him to decide on one positive to throw out there. So we'll see how this goes.
Go for it, Charlie. Show her wrong, not, right? Approve her wrong. Right, not,
what, just whatever comes to mind. It doesn't even have to be one thing.
Get her.
Host of things. We're flexible here.
And don't say anything that's about Claire. Like, it's not, we always know you love Claire. Don't have to say that. You just go. What do you got?
Rose and Thorn.
You go first.
We tried.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I think for me, Rose is, I'm just going to say, like, for this week, Rose is that we've had beautiful weather. It's been 80 degrees. It's going to get cold this weekend, but we are full out spring rush. And Thorn, a little bit for us, is housing. We're trying to figure out our next steps with our son and what we want to do and moving and things like that. Staying in the area, but it's just a little all up in the air, and I'd really like to have that figured out. This is not the market to be looking.
All right, Rose. Now.
Yeah.
So my Rose is the lake reservoir that's close to our house. They have plugged the dam, so it's now being filled with water, and it was warm enough for me to swim last weekend in it. So that was a big Rose there. And Thorn would be that I have, I'm too bogged down in my sales role and I need to get caught up on some estimates. Rose and Thorn.
Good job.
Woo! Man, Claire was dying.
This is really fun video to watch. You know, for us, it's not that big of a deal. But like, it's funny because, like, you know, we're patient, but then you can see Claire. She's like, oh, you can do it.
If there was going to be a reality show couple that we were going to track in our industry, I'm putting your two name in. I'm watching that. I'm Bravo.
This does not need to be on TV.
No, not even a question. It'd be so funny. I'd love to see a day in the life of you guys. Maybe we'll just have to take a visit. You know, like, we'll do it. We'll do a syndicated kind of story on the podcast. Like, okay, Claire and Charlie.
Let's check in with the Goldman.
What's green with the Goldmans? I don't know. That's bad. But what about you, Brett?
We're the opposite of that Alabama weather, right? We got snow coming again, which is it's just too late for it. March is, it's going to happen. It'll snow for another month for us. But we like to be in the mode. I skied in the warmest weather, 70 degrees last Sunday. That was just the weirdest experience.
Oh, but fun. Awesome.
T-shirts just ripping down. And that was cool. And I am off of a very busy travel schedule, personal and professional travel, which was very rewarding, help, you know, with some industry friends, with some industry events, with some family stuff. but that was, you know, taking away from time with my family when it's professional stuff or from the business. And so spring's here, it's time to settle in for a little bit, get into the business. I've gone through a heck of a winter. So let's get working. Because with all the NLP, you go, next week is NCLC, right? That's going to be an exciting event. And there's just this constant need for things like that. And it's just, it's all over. So you could get locked in it, and then the business can need to at least set up home better. And I haven't quite done that yet. So I got to figure that part out. So, but I'll take your 80 degree weather. I'm not going to go swimming yet, but I'll take that 80 degree weather.
I know that sounds so Alabama to me.
It's March, yeah, and they're swimming.
Swimming in a lake and March. Yeah. It's like, man.
How about you, Miles?
Yeah. Well, I'm in the same boat. Yeah. This is the very first podcast, like in probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes. So yeah, it's just been a really busy personal and business travel schedule. I was out in California I was planning on going out there for a week, end up being like 2.5 weeks. So what's cool about my job is that I can work remote. So I was able to do like Lake Tahoe, and then I had some friends in San Francisco. Then I had more friends in LA. So I was just like, I rented a car and I just road trip California. So that was a really cool experience. I've never been out there. It's so beautiful. I highly recommend visiting California if you can. Especially Big Sur. My gosh, what a beautiful part of the country. It's like unbelievable, really. That was cool. And then we had last week we had our users conference for Include down in New Orleans. So that was really good, really positive. Personally, for like career growth wise, it was a big thing for me, because there's a lot of presentations that I was able to prep for, and I love public speaking. So it's really fun, like when everything in like my job is like clicking to things that I really love doing, like public speaking and being creative and working with a cool team. So a lot of good things, but just a lot of travel. So this past week has just been, I think the thorn is just like sleep. It's just kind of like been like I'm just like on. And then you kind of like turn it off when you get back, and then it's like you're still on when you're sleeping. You know, it's just like your brain is just still rolling. It's like, gosh, like I just need it's like I almost need a vacation from the vacation almost. So that's probably the thorn. I'm in good company. You guys get around. It's just like the mind is just going. It's just like I just need to stop thinking. Like when I just go to bed, I just like I think quiet. So that's a bit of a thorn, just trying to get good sleep and good rest, so that way I can actually keep on doing my job. So,
I think thank you both. Right, this is some good stuff for Miles and I getting back into this. Right, and so this is a fun conversation, and I think helpful. Somebody's going to hug their spouse even after a hard day at work today. Some love is going to come out of this in our industry, I'm sure.
Well, thank you for having us. We enjoyed it.
No, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate you you coming on. It's a lot of fun. We also appreciate our listeners who listen to us every single week. So a big thank you to everybody. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate us. Do all the things, share with your coworkers, friends, family, so you can listen to more cool conversations like we just had today with Claire and Charlie. All right, y'all, have a good rest of your day. Claire, don't get
you too.
Don't let Britt boss you around too much. Yeah.
Britt, I had nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah. Later, all. Thank all right, you all.
We'll see
this is great later. Stuff. See ya.